You can join me in reading God's Word today, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it reveals who you are. It shows us who we are in Christ. And it shows us how to have a relationship with you. Lord, I desperately ask you to fill me afresh with your Spirit today, that I would be led by you during this time of preaching. God, that you would move me as a sail in the wind, Lord, sensitive to your Spirit, that you would feed your sheep today, Lord, and do this for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I better be on today because with those new chairs, everybody be sleeping on me. And by the way, don't come out up and apologize to me after the service if you fall asleep. People do that. I go, you're not the first, you won't be the last. And most of the time, I don't see you sleeping anyway. And if I do, I'm not going to come and talk to you. You know, when Christ came, obviously, he came for a purpose, and that was to provide for our salvation. That we were sinners separated from God, and there was nothing we could do to bridge that gap. And so Christ came and met the requirements of the law, which was perfection. And then he came and died on the cross for those who would believe for the punishment of their sins, because God is just. And by doing so, 3 days later, rose from the dead as evidence that that payment was accepted by the Father. So Christ primarily came to provide for our salvation. He also came to give us a picture of what holiness looks like. How do you walk in a way that honors the Father, right? And so when we wonder about that, we look at what Christ did, and that gives us a picture of what holiness looks like and what God is calling us to do. But he did another thing as well. He came and he modeled what a relationship with the Father looks like. How do you do that? And one of the things that we see is that the key that Jesus seemed to come to was that the Father is Spirit, and so in order for us to have a relationship with the Father, the key is prayer. We need to understand what prayer is about. We see Jesus constantly going to prayer. And the disciples, it's interesting because as far as what's recorded in the Scripture, the disciples didn't ask Jesus, hey, can you teach us how to preach? Can you teach us how to teach? They said, can you teach us how to pray? These were Jewish men who knew how to pray, but there was something different here because Christ was modeling what this relationship would look like with this living God. And what he does is in response to the disciples' question, he gives us a pattern to kind of go by in order to help us to pray, to connect with the Father in heaven. And this is not a prayer that is to be repeated in a sense of word for word, and then somehow we do that. As a matter of fact, we see in this first section of Scripture, he's talking about, don't do this. He's warning going into this response to the disciples, teach us how to pray. Whatever, you know, don't do that. Don't be like the Gentiles who heap up empty phrases, and they keep repeating things, and they think because of their many words, they're going to be heard. So he comes right out of the gate saying, this is not something you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You pray it once, and then you pray it again, you pray it again, you pray it again, you pray it again. He said, that's what the Gentiles do. Don't do that. So what Christ is doing here is he's saying, I'm going to give you a pattern. I'm going to give you a model to follow that will help you to connect with the Heavenly Father relationally, because he is Spirit, and we need that. And the thing that's so beautiful about this, the picture of this prayer, is it's just gospel saturated from beginning to end. It's just the picture of the cross. We see Christ in it. It's just this beautiful, beautiful prayer. So what we're going to do is we're going to start up, and we're going to start with just the first little phrase, Our Father. So many times when we look at this, we just rush past everything. I found myself doing that this week as I was preparing. I just rushed through it. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, Dan, hit the brakes here. Start thinking about this stuff. Stop. I have a background where we was just pray this prayer when we were, had committed a sin. Just pray this prayer. And so I had to almost unlearn what I learned when I was a little guy. And just stop, slow down, shut it down, Dan. Our Father. It goes on, John 1, 12 through 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And it goes on in Ephesians 1, 5. He predestined us for adoption through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Our Father. Our Father. The very foundation of all of our prayer. I said this a few weeks ago. Prayer is based on sonship, not friendship. And here we see it, Our Father. I almost went another step and I thought, you know, as we're looking at this, it's my Father. My Father. My Father. You see this picture because Father is a title of an intimate relationship. My kids are older now. My youngest is going to be 19 at the end of this month. And no matter how old they get, I will always be their father. And will always bring me joy when they come to me and ask me, Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. And we look at this title and how intimate it is. My Father. In the Old Testament, no saint ever addressed God as Father. In the New Testament, we find that at least 275 times Christians are instructed to address God as Father. My Father. What a beautiful, beautiful way to start. Why? Here we see the cross. We see the gospel. How could we be, how could he be our Father? Because of the cross. Because of the cross. Because of the cross, God's grace through faith in Christ, we are adopted. We are justified and we are blessed because of Christ's righteousness. And we race through this, and I think one of the things Jesus is showing us here is saying, you know what? Think about this. Think about your salvation when you pray. Think about this beautiful relationship. Our Father. Daddy, Daddy. Just slow down. Remember that. Now, I don't know what types of fathers you've had in the past. But this, our God, is a perfect Father. And because of the cross, we come to Him and say, My Father. This is just a beautiful picture of the cross right here in the beginning. It's like Jesus saying, remember who you are in Christ. Remember who you are in me. You're adopted. You're adopted by the living God. And all the privileges that come with that. The privilege that you are entering in as you pray. We have access to the throne because of that relationship. My Father, my Dad. My Dad. I love this. To just slow down, Dan, when you pray. We just rush through. We got our list. Stop. Oh, Lord, I worship you. You are my Dad. You are my Father. And I'm adopted. In all my mess, you love me because you're my Father. To slow it down. to shut down this busyness of life and dwell and meditate upon this beautiful truth of the gospel coming right out of the gates when Jesus is teaching us how to have a relationship with this living God. Just remember who you are in Christ. My dad, my father. Sonship is prayer's foundation. That's how we come to God. And you know, I was thinking about this because this week I didn't have the time to prepare like I normally had. A lot of things were going on. And it's just neat how God just brought everything together. And I was thinking about, you know, we all have our dads. And, you know, remember when you were a kid, you would have these arguments with your friends. At least the boys did. I'm thinking the girls did, but the boys always did. Well, my dad can lift up a car. Oh, really? Well, my dad can jump over buildings. Well, my dad, you remember those things, guys? You'd argue, well, my dad's like the smartest guy ever. You know, well, my dad taught your dad everything he knows. And I almost feel like that's kind of what happens in the next part. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Take a look at these verses. Our Father in heaven. That's my dad. My dad is in heaven. I just look at this as this beautiful picture of who the Father is. Our Father in heaven. Again, to stop, to meditate on the greatness of God, because sonship is prayer's foundation, and God Himself, who sovereignly reigns in heaven, is the power behind the prayer. We touched on this a little bit last week. It is not our faith. It is the living God that moves the mountain. And we see this picture in this prayer that Jesus is giving, this model, my dad in heaven. Psalm 102, verse 19. He looked down from his holy height from heaven. The Lord looked at the earth. Just stop. He looked down from heaven, his holy height. That's your Father. Now, at this moment. And in Psalm 135, 6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth. Who's that? That's my Father. My Father does that. He does whatever He wants. My dad is so great. He does whatever He wants. In 1 Timothy 6:15 through 16, He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to Him be honor and eternal dominion. That's my dad. That's my Father. Wow. I love what John MacArthur said. Prayer is to impress you with God much more than it is to impress God with you or your needs. How much time do we spend in prayer being impressed with our Father? To just stand back in awe. And we can call Him Father? What a great God. What a wonderful thing the cross is. That this Creator God, eternal, who always was, who will remain independent and self-sufficient, this eternal Creator who transcends all spatial and geographic limitations. He rules in the highest place, and that place is called heaven. And there is no place higher. That's my dad's house. That big house up there, that's my dad's house. In the highest place, He dwells. In all His glory and power and might, that's my dad. It's my Father. He is above and around and within. This omnipotent, all-powerful God. And it's like Jesus is saying, okay, now here's who you are. You're related. And here's who your dad is. Here's who our God is. Wow. He's establishing, he's laying a foundation for prayer, that we would start with these thoughts, that God would lead us and hear who my God is. Can you see, as we dwell on the greatness of our God, how it would increase our faith because we start remembering who he is? So any requests we make after this come out of great faith. Why? Because of us? No, because of who our God is. He's in heaven. Our Father. I'm making these requests to my Father. And he's in heaven. He alone is almighty. He can't be tricked. He can't be thwarted. He can't be defeated. That's my dad. That's my Father in heaven. He has the power to do whatever he decides to do. He can do all his unchanging will. That's my Father. That's my Father. He lives up there in that big house, you know, heaven. I got a lot of brothers and sisters too. That's our dad. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And Jesus is coming in and he's saying, now listen, this is who you are relationally because of the cross. We see the gospel there. My Father in heaven. That's my dad. Let me tell you about my Father. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all present. He's wonderful. He's patient. He's kind. He's good. That's my Father. That's my Father. And so we, as Christians, those who have received by God's grace through faith the gift of salvation, can approach confidently in the throne room because he is our Father. I would hope my kids would be able to approach me confidently. And we can approach him confidently because of our relationship with God. But also respectfully because of who he is. Respectfully. Because of who he is. Take a look. God's word. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Go confidently. That's my Father. Romans 8 verse 15 through 16. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do you approach God in prayer? We need to approach him confidently because of the blood of Christ, because we're adopted into the family. But there's also a sense that we need to approach him reverently because of who he is. Sometimes I think those lines can get blurred. As a young believer, it was blurred for me. When I would go to pray, sometimes I would be very, maybe a little bit too, hey, Dad! You know, and Jesus was my Levi buddy. That's what I said, you're my Levi buddy, because he wore jeans. I had a hard time imagining a God that was on all the movies back then, you know, Jesus walking around like he didn't even move his feet, he just floated on the earth. And I just thought, you know, Jesus would wear jeans if he were here today. And you know what, there was a time where you know, God brought me, I remember I was a young believer, and I just desperately needed a friend. I needed a God
who would love me for who I was, all messed up. I didn't need some God pushing me away, but drawing me near. And I finally found that. And so my prayer was to a friend, which was correct. But there came a time when God loved me enough to say, but Dan, I'm also God, in a sense that how awesome I am. So come reverently as well. Come confidently, but reverently. Oh, Lord, Father, you are seated in the highest place. It's kind of like, you know, God, build that bridge. Draw me to yourself. And when I come, I want to come confidently, but reverently. I don't want to act like it's no big deal. This is a huge deal. This is the Creator, you know, my dad up in heaven. And I'm going into the courts because of the blood of Christ. And I go confidently, but I go reverently. I go reverently. God, give us that balance. That we would come just confidently as your children, but reverently. Because you are the living, mighty God. That because of the cross, we can say, that's my dad. That's my father. What a great God that he would do this. He would make a way for me to be in eternity with him. That's my father. I will say this so many times. We strive to find an assurance of salvation. We look for it and out talking to people and stuff. I think the best way to find assurance of salvation is in prayer. As the Spirit of God speaks, it says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Go into your prayer time and just say, Lord, I'm sitting here and I want to ask you to confirm again in my heart that I'm your child. In that prayer time, when our Father will reconfirm, you're my child. I rejoice over you. But God, I rejoice over you because of who Christ is for you. That's my Father, and he's in heaven. That's the foundation that we come to the Lord. Then there comes another verse. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. People look at this wrongly. They think that this is a declaration. We're making a statement about God. It's not. This is actually the first request in this prayer. Hallowed be your name. Your name is the very first request that Jesus brings when the disciples say, "How teach us how to pray." And Jesus says, okay, here it's established the foundation is your relationship because of the cross. And this is who you're coming to, this great and mighty and awesome God who's seated in heaven. And now the first request you make is hallowed be your name. Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That's hallowing God's name. So what does this mean? This verse here that slides in. As I said, this is not a declaration. It's the first request in this prayer. And it is a request that our all-powerful Father would sovereignly act in ways that glorify his name. That's what we're asking. We're saying, God, would you act in a way, in ways that glorify your name? That's the prayer here. That's the first request. Well, what does that mean? Hallowed be your name. First of all, when we look at it, in antiquity, a person's name represented all that they were. So in my case, it would be, oh, that's Pastor Dan. And what does that represent? That represents that he is a Christian. It represents that he is a father, that he is a husband, that he is whatever, a Packer fan, he's this, he's that. So my name represented all that I am. And that's why people would say, in the name of, or you know, I come in the name of so-and-so, and they had all their authority. So back in antiquity, when you said a person's name, it meant all that they were. That's the picture that we have here. And when we see this, we read throughout the Word of God. If you remember, quite a few years ago, we went through a series called The Names of God. And we talked about the different names of God. So many throughout the Old Testament in particular. And what happened is all these various names would describe one specific characteristic of God. Okay? So if it was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, or whatever it might be, Jehovah Sitzkenu, Jehovah Rapha, etc., etc., the list goes on and on. And they all were a picture of a part of the character of God. And together, all those names represent who God is. That's the picture that we have here, that it's the whole person. And all of the names in Scripture point us to who God is and what he is like. And all of those names, all of who God is, was manifest before the eyes of the world in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We see all the greatness, all the beauty, all the wonder, all the description and character of who God is manifest on earth in Christ. He was God in the flesh. Take a look again at God's Word. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. God in the flesh. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Where? In heaven. In heaven. And then we see in Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. So when we see hallowed be thy name, we see a picture of Christ. He is the manifestation of all that the Father is. He is the manifestation because he is God. Our triune God. Our triune God. He is the living expression of the gospel. That's our Jesus. So when it says, hallowed be your name, it's this picture of Christ, all of who God is. What does this hallowed deal mean? Yeah, that's an old school word, isn't it? You know, walk around and say, hey, hallowed be so-and-so. What? What's hallowed mean? Hallowed means sanctify. The same Greek word is used for both English words. So hallowed and sanctified, it's the same Greek word. What does it mean? Sanctify means this, to make holy or treat as holy. Okay? To make holy or treat as holy. So when God sanctifies us, it means this, that he is making us holy. Well, here it says, hallowed be thy name. So sanctify thy name. When we sanctify God, it means that we treat him as holy. That's what it means. So you see where this prayer is going? Jesus is saying that as we enter into prayer, as we say, Lord, we're coming because of the cross, our Father, and you were seated in the highest place. And we stand in awe of who you are, all of who you are. And we understand that, and we start saying, now God, my first request is that you would cause me, to treat you as holy. You see, we get a picture of that because we've just thought about that, who God is in heaven. Now, God, would you cause me to treat you as holy? Father, change us so that we hallow you. We treat you as holy in and through our lives. That's the very first request in this prayer. God, Father, change me. Father, make me like Jesus. That's what he's saying here. Hallowed be your name. Cause your name to be treated as holy in my life, God. Change me. I want to be like Christ. This picture that I have because of the cross, because of who you are in heaven. God, hallowed be your name in me. Change me. Cause me to hallow your name. Cause me to treat you as holy, God. Do this in me. That's my first and greatest request, God. Make me like you. Change me, Lord. Do this 24/7. And we see some of the other scripture coming in here and kind of filling in this gap. What does that look like? Take a look at this. This is, hallowed be thy name. This is what it looks like in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Hallowed be thy name. God, everything I do, make it bring you glory. Make me like Christ so that men would treat you as holy. That I would live in such a way that everything I do is for the glory of God. Hallowed be thy name. That's the request we're making. It's like we're asking him, Lord, would you work 1 Corinthians 10:31 in my life? Hallowed be thy name. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. To your Father who is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. God, cause your name to be treated holy in my life and through my life. How? That my light would shine, God. My light would shine so that people would give you glory. And then in Philippians 1:9-11, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ to the glory and praise of God. Make me like Jesus. Why? So that you would be glorified, God. Hallowed be thy name. We hallow the name of Jesus when we trust him with our lives. If you're a believer today, that's one of the ways that you hallowed the name of Jesus. By God's grace and mercy, he drew you to himself, and you received that gift of salvation. So we hallow his name when we trust him. We hallow his name when we obey him, when we walk in obedience. He enables us to do it. He gives us the power. We can't do it in our own strength. But when we walk in obedience, we hallow the name of Jesus. All of who he is, we bring him glory. We hallow the name of God in and through our lives, and our desire should be that we would do it 24/7. So that's the picture of what Jesus is painting for us. When his disciples said, teach us how to pray, he said, okay, I'm going to give you a pattern, and this is how it starts. My Father, the foundation of prayer is sonship. My Father. Then we move into the power behind the prayer. Our eternal God. Our Father in heaven. Seated in the highest place. How can I doubt after meditating on who you are, where you are seated, how you're ruling and reigning over all the earth? How can I have any doubt that you are unable to accomplish anything I ask according to your will? You see, it's just establishing it. It's giving it that firm foundation that it's not based on me. It's based on who you are, God, not me. And my first request, Lord, is that you would begin with me. So we start with this gratefulness of the cross. Just, wow. Thank you, Lord. My Father, thank you. We start with gratefulness and awe for our salvation. Wow. We move from there into being overwhelmed with the greatness of our God to a point where we worship Him. You know, it said, how can it be? You know, you kind of go, how can it be? You are so great. You are so wonderful, God. We see this as a picture of worship in our prayer time. Just worshiping Him. How great is my God? Oh, you're seated in the highest place. Nothing can stop your will. Nothing, God. You're my Father. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, Father, great are you. Thank you, Lord. We just worship. And we find that then our heart's desires change. And we see that happening here as we celebrate our salvation, as we acknowledge the greatness of our God, and suddenly He's working in our hearts. And our heart's desire in all of our prayer becomes this: hallowed be your name. God, cause your name to be treated as holy throughout this entire world. Cause your name to be treated as holy in my life. Start with me, God, because of who He is. Now, all of a sudden, everything is changing. Everything is shifting. The way we're approaching God in our prayer changes the way we ask Him. We ask confidently, but in awe. And then suddenly He redirects our desires. And our heart's desire now, because of understanding these first two, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our desire for the outcome of all our prayers is that above all else, God, above all else, would you sovereignly act in ways that will glorify yourself. God, do that. God, do that. And you see, then all of a sudden, as we move farther down in this prayer, thy will be done, it's easier to pray that because we understand a little bit better. Thy will be done. So my challenge for all of us is this: that our first request when it comes time in prayer, first of all, to slow down. Just slow down in your prayer time. I mean, my goodness. It's like, you know, our eternal Creator, Father is there, and we're rushing through it like we, you know, like cutting the grass is more important than Him. I know, because that's my own life. You know, I got to get the grass cut. I got to do this. I got to do that. Slow down. Slow down. Rest in who He is. Rest in who you are in Christ. Delight in that. Say, yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to think about who you are. And that's why we have the Word. And we open up the Word and we see it from heaven. He looks and He causes all His will to be done. And you just, I can't get any farther than that. I just have to worship you, Father. You open the Word. But our first request, when we get to that point, maybe you don't even get there. That's okay. You say, well, I didn't pray. I didn't ask for anything. You prayed. You just didn't ask for anything. You're still praying. Worshiping our God. The first request you would make is that, Father, would you sanctify me by making me more like Jesus. Hallowed be your name. Your name is all the beauty. Everything that your name is found in Christ. So make me like Jesus, Lord. Hallowed be your name in me and through me. And through me. And in this situation that I'm about to pray for, God, I think this is your will, but my heart is that your name would be hallowed in this healing of this person or in this person's life. Hallowed be your name, God. Work things in such a manner that you would be treated as holy in this situation. So we're just starting this wonderful adventure through this example that Jesus gave us. And I would hope this week that we all slow down. And we just take these first couple words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and just meditate on that. Slow down. Delight in who your Father is in heaven. And as you think about who He is and who we are in Christ, suddenly you're going to find your faith rising because of who our God is. And then all the requests will fall in line. Everything else that this prayer points to makes so much more sense. And you'll find that the foundation is always the cross and is always that relational reason why we come to the Father. The foundation. In sonship, not friendship. Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of you this day. God, that we would call you our Father because of the cross. And you delight in that, just as a parent delights in their children. God, help us remember that when the enemy comes in to bring condemnation. That you delight in us because of Christ, that we're your children and you're our dad. And Lord, you are seated in the highest place even now, ruling and reigning over every molecule, everything that is happening. God, you are great. And we stand in awe of you. And there is nothing that is impossible for you. So we stand in awe of you, God. And we ask this week, God, this moment, even in this time of worship, that your name would be hallowed. God, that we would treat you as holy, even in this worship time and throughout this week. And God, we pray that this world, lost as it is, that you would act sovereignly in such a manner that this world would treat you as holy. God, we know that that will eventually come when you return. But we ask that you would move into situations in our lives now, that your name would be hallowed. And we pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.